This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. It's Van Lathan. This is Higher Learning.
Oh, it's Rachel. The way you started off, I thought, oh, okay, he's got more to say. What's up, y'all? It's Rachel.
No, here's the thing, though. If you guys notice for the second time in a row, a little bit of a clumsy intro, it's because right now I am overjoyed because I got backup. We are starting off the show hot and heavy. I got backup. I promised you guys that we would have a guest to validate my claims about what I'm putting it down, movie of the year, okay?
Movie of the year.
And Higher Learning audience, I bring to you comedy great Amy Schumer. Welcome her to Higher Learning.
So pretty in person. Thank you. And I want to thank my other Octopus fans out there. You know who you are. You get it.
Right. So,
my Amy, Octopus teacher.
You've heard, I sent you the clip.
Yes, I was crying laughing, and so was my husband.
Before we talk about the many things that one Amy Schumer has been doing and is doing during this most unpredictable time, why don't you help sell Rachel on... Well, actually, Rachel divulged something. She said that she actually saw the movie.
I watched it. I wasn't going to have Amy on and not watch the movie. Okay, I want to participate in the conversation.
This is so funny because usually you'd be watching like a movie that the guest was like in or promoting or something, but it's just my recommendation.
Right.
And so, yes. Okay. You watched it. There was a lot of hostility the first time this movie was mentioned. And I understand why, but what do you think now that you saw it?
Well, first of all, I would like to say, I never thought the first time I'd be talking to you would be about an octopus. I just want to go ahead and put that out there. Now I've seen the movie, Van, stop. I've seen the movie. It's a bit overrated.
Wow.
I have to say, folks, it's a bit overrated. Now, here's my thing.
Wow.
There were things, but you know how it is when someone has hyped up a movie so much, I'm just expecting to be blown away. I'll admit, I was a little distracted when I was watching it. I watched it at work. So there's that.
You can't really.
This is like, it's not registering.
It's not right. It did register.
It did
because I appreciated the vulnerability in the movie. I appreciated how he really took time for the smaller things in life, but I didn't have an emotional connection to it.
Well, I mean, I'll say it. You're a sociopath. Listen.
I say so. I agree.
Movie. It is moving. This guy, did you see when the octopus cuddling the octopus?
That was the one part when they first made contact and the octopus reached on his hand and he tried to pull away and the octopus floated up with him. That was the most the biggest thing for me in the movie.
The Little Mermaid. I mean, that was, yeah. I really think watching Ursula. It work, I don't think it counts. I don't think you count this.
No, I think we watched it here on the, it was the only thing I could concentrate on. What about the octopus / shark chase? That is amazing cinema.
He jumped on his back.
I was impressed how the octopus gathered the shells and protect. I was impressed. But can I just say, and I know I'm not alone when I say this out there, did anybody else think that this man was leading the sharks to the octopus? That's all I kept thinking.
Wait, who was the guy?
Yeah, the guy who was doing this documentary, I kept thinking he is bringing the sharks to this octopus. And it was disturbing to me.
Oh my God, I can't even begin to think about that. There's no way.
By the way,
died for that octopus.
I hadn't considered that.
Gotcha. I'm thinking a different way now. I was disturbed. I was like, this shark came because this man is a distraction. He's not supposed to be here.
I'm shaking. Rachel, I'm haunted.
Rachel, you are a fucking demon. This is the worst thing that you could have possibly said.
I'm a lawyer.
I've never met you, but I'm pretty mad at you.
Yeah, like this is the worst news I've gotten in a long time. I can't.
Makes you go, hmm.
He's down there. He's blowing up the spot with the octopus and stuff like that. You know what? I choose.
But no, they have a 1-year life expectancy, so
it didn't matter.
I would think. I don't know how much time he shaved off of that octopus's life, but
yeah.
I can't believe Rachel just ruined our favorite movie.
Yeah, Rachel, what the hell? First of all, you know what? I'm choosing not to believe. Like half of America's
doing
right
now. I'm blocking this out.
I'm choosing not to believe. You guys, I'll say it again. Right now, the way it's looking, Bad Boys for Life is going to win Best Picture because there are no other movies that are coming out. So Bad Boys for Life and Tenet. All right, those are two movies that are going to be right there. Nothing else has come out. Or maybe Trolls World Tour. That might get a nod. But I think right now the Academy should do something. Take a documentary, which is probably against the rules, slide it into the Best Picture category because I haven't seen anything better this year.
Unanimous.
Unanimous.
Unanimous winner.
Mm-hmm. Amy, do you think a documentary is a movie?
A documentary is a movie. That's what a documentary is.
Right. Like we had a conversation last podcast about whether or not a documentary is a movie. Rachel seems to think that a documentary is not a movie for some reason.
No, that's wild, Rachel. That's wild. You look so gorgeous. Like for work,
thank you so much.
God, I could never get it together like that. And you don't have like a team right now. You know, it's like
I do. No, I'm in studio. I had hair and makeup. Believe me, I could never do this.
This is everything I've got in me to get it here. I blow dried my hair. I used a flat iron. everything I could. This is a 10 out of 10 what I can do right now.
I'll tell you.
Very natural beauty.
Natural beauty. Normally, you don't get this.
Go ahead, tell him. The wig is off.
She'll pull the wig off. She'll have the cornrows under there. Like, you know, Queen Latifah and set it off like the whole nine.
Yes. I really respect that. I'm on TV. I've got a wig. You wear a wig. I have a wig in my. I can show you my wig in my thing right now. It's in a little pouch. You want to see my wig?
Sure. Yes, okay. I would like to see the wig. I would like to see Amy Schumer's wig for sure.
All right, you gotta see.
You gotta tell her about your man wig. You gotta tell her you're on the board too.
Yeah. They're harder to find than you would think.
I know. I've been asking around for you. Actually, people don't specialize in man wigs.
In case I needed it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see the Amy Schumer
just
wig.
In case you need it.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting my wig.
I hope it's a different color.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait. This is really
that a girl.
From a movie I did.
Let me see. Amy Schumer's putting the wig on.
Does it still fit?
Yeah.
I look like Bob the Bounty Hunter. I think this is from I Feel Pretty. This, you know, it's like so yeah, but, look, you're not alone. But here's the real thing, which is like that's it.
It's great. I love the real thing.
So Amy, I want to alert you to something that you might not know. You are the first white woman guest that we've ever had.
This is true.
On Higher Learning. This is a, you're setting a big standard right here, Amy.
I think you know how honored I am to hear that. Thank you.
It's an amazing thing. What is it like to be a white woman?
White female guest on Higher Learning?
Yeah, just be a white woman in general in 2020. What is it like?
Good question.
This is the year for white women. This is like, to be a white woman this year, it's like, shut up, bitch, and listen. Listen for a full fucking year at the least. And it's not about, you know, and realizing it's not about you. So it's not about how guilty or shameful you feel. It's about, what are you going to do to help, bitch?
See, our followers ask us all the time, like, what can we do? There you go, right there, straight from Amy Schumer. Just shut up, bitch.
Shut up. Don't tell us. It's okay. It's a natural reaction you feel. Once your eyes are open to the caste system that we live in, and I'm saying that because I'm almost done with Isabel Wilkerson's book, Caste, which is the book of our lifetimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll feel really shitty and just, it doesn't, that's not a helpful emotion. So just get your guilt and everything aside. Don't have anyone comfort you. And what action, what, how are you going to use what power you have to help and be not just an ally, but Ayanna Pressley the other night said, be an accomplice. And I like that. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's an imperfect thing being an ally, you know, it's like, it's a constant negotiation and you can get it wrong, but just, you know, tell your closest Black friends to tell you when you fuck up and just, yeah, use your, and use whatever power you have. You can find out it, you can Google and find out if your bank is guilty of redlining and not giving mortgages to Black families, and you can move your money. Which I did this year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And you know, whatever power you have in your life, what are you doing to get people of color into the highest positions of power? What are you doing? That's it.
Was there a specific moment that you realized that you had to do more, say more, or be more present? Because it hasn't always been like a rosy relationship with you in the culture. Was there a specific time that you went, yo, I want to put my stamp on these things and be a part of the America that I want to see in the future?
Yeah, well, I'm part of that contingent of like people who grew up, who were like, I have Black friends. I don't see any difference. I'm not racist. And that's like the biggest lie. You know, you're still a part of a white supremacist system that you don't even realize. For me, it was, I was shooting a movie with Goldie Hawn called Snatched in Hawaii. And it was like a really diverse crew and cast. And so, and Lemonade had just come out. And so me and the rest of the women in the cast, we made like a video, which I thought was a tribute to Beyonce's Formation. In the video, there's so much imagery that makes perfect sense why it would make people insanely mad. But I just thought, I love Beyonce. I want to celebrate her. And actually I sent it to her and Jay-Z and they loved it. They gave us permission and they actually released it on Tidal. They were like, yes, as long as we can release it on Tidal first. And I just didn't see like outrage coming at me. And then people were really pissed that I made this video and they were calling me a white feminist. And I didn't know what that meant. I just thought, yes, I am a feminist. I am white. What does that mean? And then, but it was explained to me by my friends, like that it's not about all women. It can't be. It has to be about women of color first, because they've had it the worst for hundreds of years. And that had to be explained to me. And, you know, people were really mad online. There was so much hate. There was so much hurt. And my instinct was to like defend myself. And then I just learned like, no, I understand why this upset people. And let me just learn from it. And and just learn. And I've just been educating myself ever since then, honestly. That was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. And I've been just educating myself and like, don't be too proud if you get it wrong to like get back in and, you know, so that's what I would say.
Yeah. Speaking of caste systems, will you be watching The Bachelor this year?
Oh my God. That's really funny. I will watch The Bachelor for the rest of my life. Probably like no matter what, you know? You know, I'm just remembering now, it was like, you know, that is such, I am like, so mostly what I watch, you know, you just watch and you're like, Chris Rock had such funny jokes about it and he never did it anywhere, but he would talk about the black contestant, you know, and just, you know, there's always a moment, and I was trying to work out this bit, but there's always a moment, you know, where the producers obviously get in people's ears and they go like, now is when you need to be vulnerable and tell them your thing, you know?
Yes, and, that happens.
Okay, yeah, no question. It's so obvious. Like, this is the episode. We're on this date. It's like, now I can tell you. And some people's problems, like, some people don't have any, you know, they're like, my parents are divorced. And, like, that's their thing. Sure. And you're like, that's your thing?
Right.
And then, you know, and then it'll go to, like, a different contestant. I mean, that's the word you would use, right? Like,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they've had like actual real shit happen to them. And so Chris and I pause it and we guess what the person's thing is going to be. They're like, I have to tell you something. We pause it. And he's like, always right. He's like, I think she is a child and the, you know, her husband died. Like, we guess. But no, there's no question that show is a reflection of the caste system.
By the way,
Van will be watching this year. He's never seen an episode.
This is your first year?
And he's new to the family.
This is my first year being a batch.
He didn't watch when Rachel was on?
No. He didn't even know who I was.
I knew who you were. But I didn't watch. And the only reason why, like, I don't think I didn't watch is because The Bachelor always seemed like something that if you're a fan of it, that means something. You know, because I'll tell you what it is. It's like,
yeah.
When I worked at TMZ, the girls in the office were so fucking crazy over The Bachelor.
Right.
And it didn't seem like a show. It seemed like fucking NXIVM. It seemed like Keith Raniere was going to come out or something like that. It didn't seem like a show. It seemed like a way of life. And I'm like, I don't know if they would stay in the office and then watch it with wine. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
that it seemed so like. Fun.
It's like, cult-like.
Yeah,
no, you're right. Like, it is. It is like The Vow. By the way, that show is so good.
Oh, I love that show.
It's on my list.
Oh, okay.
Why are you fucking
like
that guy?
The Octopus Teacher. You'll love.
You'll love. So listen, I have another question, and I know the answer to this question, but I guess it's a question for everyone. So as a man, sometimes you want to help and you want to empower women. You want to be an advocate for women. You want to be an ally for women, right? But there are moments where your classic definition of manhood or masculinity or whatever, it's challenged. And then you have to put it on the line actually for women, or you have to call somebody else out that is a man that you might respect. And that's when you see the hesitation coming, right? And it happens no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you're right.
You think you're a feminist, and then all of a sudden there is a conversation on Twitter about splitting the rent. And everybody is like, yo, you are broke if you split the rent with a woman. And you think, yo, why should I have to pay all the rent? And you get mad and you get into a whole thing. You don't know. I lead up to say, sometimes I don't really think about that in terms of like white people, right? Like, I bang on white people all day long. Bang on them. This is white supremacy. This is the system. This is what it meant for me. This is what it meant for my ancestors. This was meant what it... I feel like I have to tell a direct and sometimes angry truth about my experience to make people understand the stakes of it. For someone who has found themselves on the other side of being an ally and helping, what would you say to someone that initial moment when they're feeling that guilt that they can't move past it, that they don't want to have their culture and their place in America criticized, they don't want to feel like their ancestors might have been a part of something. They don't want to feel that feeling, a feeling that we all have to feel as allies to get to the next spot.
Yeah. I think it's like, if you wonder what you would have done during the civil rights movement, you don't have to because it's right now. Mm. So how are you going to be proud of how you lived? Like once my eyes were opened to the systems in place, because they really weren't, they teach you in school, like the Holocaust happened, slavery, but now everybody's cool. But now everybody's equal and that's it. Mm. I would say, like once your eyes are open to it, if you're not doing everything you can to help, then like, I don't know what, I just think you're an asshole. Like, I just think you're, I don't think that's helpful. It's like,
right.
But it just separates you from someone else. Like, I can't really take anyone seriously in my life who's not like-minded to me, mm-hmm. who's not doing everything they can, who's not, and I'm like patient with people, and I will, you know, every meeting I have with, you know, if it's like a liquor company or some baby food or a production company, I'm like, how many Black people are on your board? And they're like, you know, sometimes they're like, the board is all people of color. And I'm like, that's awesome. And they're glad you asked. And sometimes they're like thrown that you asked that. And it's like, I don't want to move forward with this relationship if you aren't aware enough to, you know, have this in your setup in your business right now. It's like, it just makes me kind of dismiss someone, which is not cool because that's what people did to me. And it's, I try to be patient with people and sort of hold their hand through whatever activism they're waking up to. But I feel pretty impatient and disgusted.
Yeah. Amy, we get a lot of, and I'm pretty sure, Van, you get the same messages, a lot of messages that are from our white listeners, our white thought warriors, who are asking, saying, I've got this person in my family or I have this friend and I'm not sure how I can talk to them. Have you found yourself having those difficult conversations with family members or friends? And if so, how do you attack it for those who are listening? Because I feel like I don't know how to answer that question sometimes.
I know. I just don't have a helpful answer. Like I've let those people go.
I keep telling them, not everybody's getting on the arc. Sometimes you just
I wish I had like a good tactic or technique, but I'm just like, they're just not my friends anymore.
Has that been hard?
No. I mean, really, it hasn't. Like, you know, I'm talking about the people who are really on the wrong side of history.
I get it.
You right. know, like, yeah. Not, I wouldn't even try to have a conversation with, you know, you early on 2016 after, you know, you like try to talk to someone, but now it's like, if you're not where I am, understanding, then I just feel like I don't have time. Yeah. Yes. I don't think that's very helpful.
Yeah,
it's true.
I'm with you. I express my humanity to someone. I ask them as politely as I can to help me access that humanity and at least not stand in my way. And if they can't, you got to move on without them. But that's so many things.
Just one thing a day. Just do one thing a day. I mean, I would start out that way. Like once a day, just if somebody makes a joke, just say, I'm not comfortable with that. Something that makes you uncomfortable. So start with that. You know, I mean, like I'm not proud of every moment of my life, but for the last like 5 years I am. It's like, what, just wake up and then act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I want to talk about something that you've been a part of. We did a talk for Revolt. And you brought up a very, very serious issue for Black women, specifically when we did that talk. I'm going to talk about that later. But I want to ask you about one thing before I get there. Our friend Bill Maher, our liberal sort of fire starter, Bill Maher. Bill Maher. Watch him all the time. Pisses me off a lot. Watch him all the time. He said that the term Karen is counterproductive. That calling white women Karens and stuff like that puts them in a position where they feel ostracized on the outside of something. And they're not going to come to, you know, to the movement meetings. They're not going to be a part of it. And they specifically might not vote for President Biden because Vice President Biden, I'm getting ahead of myself, because they're so offended at being called Karens. You're a white lady. Is the term Karen offensive to you?
No.
No, you don't think it's offensive.
I would use the term Karen. I mean, I'm sorry for anybody named Karen. It's a rough time for Karens. No, I mean, I do think you catch more flies with honey or whatever the thing is. But you can't tell people how to feel, which is what I learned when I made that video to Formation. Like, you can't, people feel how they feel. So, and people deserve every ounce of anger they have. So, yeah, so whatever. So like, let them take being called a Karen as a warning. How do I not be a Karen and learn, you know, like,
you feel like you've ever been, you feel like you've ever been a Karen?
Well, not to the degree of like hurting someone, but I mean, something that I will say that I'm not proud of that I've been thinking, you know, at first when I did stand up, I would play a character kind of almost like a, you know, I come from a long line of Democrats, like, you know, union, like Lower East Side, half Jews, you know, fighting for union rights, for tailors and that kind of stuff. But when I started stand up, I would like wear a cocktail dress and, you know, like say dumb things and kind of play like a little bit of like a racist, like idiot.
Right.
And one of the jokes, I cannot remember what the joke was for my life, but it was a joke about black people not knowing how to swim, like in some way.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway, like cut to that stereotype. What created that stereotype? Is it maybe that for hundreds of years, black people weren't allowed in pools and recently like to swim together? And, you know, in the book Cast, I was mentioning, this little boy's little league team won the Little League World Series or whatever. The one black boy on the team wasn't allowed in the pool. They put him in a little raft. The lifeguard let him go. I mean, like shit that will tear your fucking heart out. And like, is that funny now, Amy? Was that joke funny? You know, and just feeling it and getting out of your own way and you know, and if you have like some skeletons to hide, like it doesn't matter. What are you going to do now that you know, you know, and even if you're the only one of your friends that knows or whatever, so what? What are you going to, you're going to die one day. What do you want to feel like you did? Right. Like you helped this population that has been kept down for no fucking reason other than to keep insecure white dummies feeling like they're better than somebody. You know, I mean, it's got to be annoying to hear. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking about.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great to get your perspective because Van and I can only say so much. You know, we can't say white dummies on our podcast.
Why not?
I'll say it.
I'll say white dummies. But you're whispering right there. But I think it's refreshing because look, you're not gonna be able to please everyone. It's just not gonna happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes, I do know.
But I think it's refreshing to know that there are people who are willing to do. There's an important part of this. Anybody can put the Instagram quote up. Anybody can do all of that stuff. That stuff is appreciated, but anybody can do it. But see, actually going to do the work and reading the books and getting a part of it. And what I was bringing up was what you were talking about with, I think it's the infant mortality that exists amongst black women and how, you know, you having a son and going through this opened your eyes to something that a lot of our sisters, it's almost a silent battle that they're fighting against the medical establishment to be treated as human beings.
Yeah, this makes me immediately want to cry. I just learned the numbers. In New York City, in New York, Black women are 12 times more likely to die unnecessarily during childbirth.
Fucking insane.
I knew nothing about that until it started coming to the forefront. Nothing.
Me neither. Until I was, and you know, and just how they, I mean, they don't listen to Black people medically at all. And there's, I mean, this is just sick. These are sick truths. They believe that Black people have a higher pain tolerance. But, and at the same time, like they just get less pain medication. And I mean, that's why it is. I think Wanda Sykes has had a bit about like how, you know, and white people's hands are so held. That's why the opioid crisis happened. And that's right. What, you know, they're like that. And finally, you know, so it's like white people are finally being punished, medically. But it's been, I mean, and that's just, those are just the numbers. In New York, you know, where you feel like, oh, they have like the best hospitals, some of the best hospitals in the world. But yeah, I mean, I learned, and there's an organization called Every Mother Counts that helps make sure there's an advocate and a medical expert, because, you know, 1/3 of women don't even have like a medical expert with them when they give birth. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's in every different scenario. The medical one, it's like, that's why it's like, okay, police have been murdering Black people for so long. You know, that first they were, police's first role was slave catchers. We know this. Mm-hmm. And, but that's just a symptom. Like all of the deaths for police is just a symptom of the whole caste system. And the thing is with people who are like, I never owned slaves. I never did this. She has a comparison in the beginning. Like the house is, if there's a leak in the house, if the house has a problem, has mold, you can't just keep taping over it. You need to rebuild the whole house.
Right.
You know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first step to that is realizing and confronting the fact that the leak is wrong. So if you don't think anything is wrong with the way things are going, mm-hmm. then you will not lift a finger.
How blind are you?
Right. To help things. Amy, I am so glad that you were able to join us today.
I'm being kicked off?
No, you're not being kicked off. You're not being kicked off at all. No, like, you know, look, man, to be real with you,
yeah.
I think there, I'll be honest with you. I think there are a lot of people out there that are very, very interested in the evolution that you've gone through just because there is, as Black people, a certain distrust that we have for the way things are.
Yeah.
And because of this, we're always trying to find out who's really down for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we see cracks in that, then we a lot of times will hold on to those cracks. But sure. I'm all about giving people space to evolve. And not only that, but especially if, like, even with me, like, I remember I was talking to my sister, big time feminist. And I was telling her about some of my thoughts. And she said, okay, well, what are you doing? And I was like, well, she was like, what are you doing to help Black women? Like, what are you doing? Like, what do you do? Like, what's your thing? Do you just clap when you retweet? Like, what do you do to help Black women? And I was like, nothing.
I co-host with one. That's
right.
It.
Right. That's it. You know what I mean? Some of my best friends are Black. When she goes, well, no, you got to find some way to get active and get into it and learn about what's going on and learn about what it is that we need. So yeah. If somebody is doing that, that's kind of how we have to do it, but for everyone, for all of us together. So.
Yeah. And I think it's been so great to hear what you have to say, because so much of what I see with the Black Lives Matter movement and people waking up to it in 2020 is performative. You know, I was very critical with the black boxes. I was very critical with the hashtags. I was critical about the announcement of a Black Bachelor. I was critical about people having knee-jerk reactions to what's been happening in the country. And so to hear you say you've put in the work, whether it's moving your money or being aligned with a company that is diverse and is inclusive, or reading certain books and learning about certain things and how they're affecting people of color, I think it's huge for our listeners to hear that there's so much more than you can do than just posting every week. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, like if, I mean, Trey Johnson, this really great writer for the Washington Post, he had that article, "When Black People Are in Pain, White People Just Join Book Clubs." And you know, it's like any criticism, if any white person is like feeling criticized right now, it's just like, just let it go. I get it, but just let it go. And if you want to start by posting and that's a big deal and you're the only one at work, okay. And, but mm-hmm. then yes, how can, what power do you have? And right. you know, you, every day it's my friend Owet said, it's like wallet, keys, phone, what am I doing to help Black lives? You know, right. what am I doing? Yeah. And, you know, and like, I'm happy that I wasn't that, you know, this wasn't my first year, you know,
right.
activist. I am happy about that. Because I do feel like I have something to offer. You know, I'm a national headliner. Mm-hmm. My last couple tours, who's opening for me on the road? Mia Jackson, Janelle James. Are they both funnier than me? Yes. but who runs my production company? Black man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's some stuff that's embarrassing that's imperfect. When Colin Kaepernick first took a knee, and you know, and then it was like the year everybody was like Super Bowl, like mm-hmm. Rihanna said no, and you know, it was like, who's going to stand in solidarity? And I'm like, you know, every day I'm like, what can I do? Like that, it's not performative. It's like it, you know, once my eyes are open, it's an obsession, and for the rest of my life, I know it's that way.
Right.
But I was like, I spoke out and I was like, I've done Super Bowl campaigns. I did an Old Navy. I did Bud Light. I'm just going to say for the record that if I'm offered, I won't do a Super Bowl commercial to be in solidarity. That, you know, that's potentially a couple $1 million.
Right.
Is it embarrassing and imperfect? Yes. Hearing me say, I'm not doing a Super Bowl commercial. That's kind of lame, but I don't care. And you get, you know, criticized, whatever. Who cares? Try and figure it out. And if you get laughed at, get back in the game. It's not about you.
Mm. Mm. All right, Amy. Listen, you're my homie, if for no other reason that you put me on to the best movie of the year. You know what? I went in Amy's comments. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this? And then she hit me.
What can this possibly be?
What can this possibly be? I'm like, what? It's a dude. By the way, doing some white people shit while we're being real, because it's no Black man's going to make a friend with an octopus.
No. Yeah. This guy puts on an oxygen tank, walks in the ocean, hangs out with an octopus.
By the way, quite possibly the whitest movie I ever saw. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be real with you. He's at the beginning of the movie, he talks about how dope cold water is. What the hell is he talking about? I have to feel the cold.
White as hell. That's fair.
Right. You know, but then after a while, I'm like, oh shit. I want to be friends with the octopus now. Right. I'm looking at tanks online and shit like that. Well, Amy, I know you have a family to look after out there.
I have hair to brush,
right. Oh, we are happy you took the time today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, before we move on, let's pay some bills real quick.
Are you looking for a view of the world that's a bit different? Hi, I'm Jason Palmer, a host of The Weekend Intelligence, a podcast from The Economist. Join us to hear the stories that matter most to our correspondents and editors. Every Saturday, we introduce you to people and ideas that take you outside the ordinary and expand your horizons one episode at a time. Join us and see the world from a new perspective. To listen free until May 31st, search Spotify for The Weekend Intelligence.
Rach,
what's
real
up?
Quick, I want to make sure of something, because you make a lot of money. You make a lot of money. You do.
You called me out, said I live in a studio.
I save my money. It seemed like you do. You make a lot of money, right? You do.
Yes.
You make $1 million a year, more or less.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't think... I hate it when people lie. You know no, you make I'm a million not,
okay,
a year.
Let's put it this way. I have never made it yet. Mm-hmm. This could be the first year. I've never made it yet.
Oh!
Okay, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
I actually don't know, but I've never made it yet. I've never made that yet. I'm not lying. I'll never lie to you.
I'm going to be honest with you. The Bachelor paying like shit then. I feel like you got to be making that million, that Christina million.
Do you know how much the Bachelor, like, I'm not going to give full details, but it's kind of out there that, let's just say this. When I was first offered, they didn't even offer me six figures. And I was like, I make that as an attorney. Why would I take anything less than that? That's
fucking insulting.
And I don't know if anybody's ever taken that, but I didn't. They do not pay like that. They say, otherwise we just hire a real movie star. That's what they say.
That's what they would just go get a real, they probably could too. They haven't done Celebrity Bachelor yet.
No, before they used to bring in people. That's how the show used to be, at least for the men. Jesse Palmer.
Oh, Jesse Palmer. Jesse Palmer.
There was a prince one time.
Yeah, and there was that nigga, that soccer nigga. What does he play? He plays soccer. What was his name? Juan Pablo? Carlos? Juan Pablo.
Him who we don't speak of. People don't like him. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I've never seen a season. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. If you you hit that million, that Christina million, I'm going to hope that you're going to pay taxes on that, Rachel.
I'll tell you, I already pay a grip in taxes.
Yeah, you do. I know, because we all do. By the way, for all you that are going to say it's impolite to ask somebody how much money they make, you're right. But it was a segue. President Donald Trump's alleged, I guess you got to say, tax documents have been released. They were leaked to the New York Times. New York Times reported that Donald Trump only paid $750, which is what they were trying to play Rachel to be on The Bachelor, in income tax the year he won the presidency, and he has paid no income taxes at all in 10 of the previous 15 years. I also saw something that President Trump had actually paid more taxes to countries outside of the U.S. than he did inside the U.S. Trump, of course, has called this fake news, has said it's fake news. He has said both the leaking of this is illegal and it's fake news, which you would think that you would have to choose one, but Trump says, fuck it, I want both of them. The question is, let's say that here for the purposes of higher learning, we're going to believe this New York Times report because there's no reason for us to not believe it.
Yeah.
Is this a big deal?
It is a big deal because, well, one, you're trying to present yourself as a president who I'm for the people, I relate to you. He's almost playing up this, I'm just like you, but you're not, because you're not even paying taxes. I saw someone tweet something that said, a barista at Starbucks pays more taxes a year than Donald Trump does. Now, there is also this other side of it, that the reason he paid so little in taxes is because his business has lost so much money and he's deeply in debt, which is troubling as well. Troubling, not surprising. When you look at the way that Donald Trump has run this country over the last 4 years, it's not surprising that he can't run his businesses. None of this should be a shocker. But the fact that he is getting away with not paying taxes when it's something that Americans do, and you're giving it to other countries, but you're not giving it to your own country, it presents you as a liar and as a fraud. And that's not something you want to see from the person who's supposed to be running the country.
Now, you gave a lot of answers as to why it should be a big deal.
Oh, you don't think it's a big deal?
No, not really.
Man.
Like,
do
tell. Listen, I believe that it should be a big deal.
You don't think it's shitty that he doesn't pay taxes?
Well, of course. But I don't think... The question is this a big deal? Some people were calling this an October surprise. So listen, here's the problem with Donald Trump. And this is why I think this information might be good for a percentage of undecided voters. And people are like, but here's the thing with Donald Trump, right? So the way Donald Trump plays this game is so fucking interesting to me. It is, because he plays this game as if he's against the system, but then he is the system, but then he is on the outside of it at the same time. So what he'll say is this: sure, I'm America first. But America has all of these rules that allow you to do this with the tax code. So I just did all of these things with the tax code, right? The people that believe in him are going to say, hey, he is a billionaire, and billionaires fuck around with the tax code all the time. And because they fuck around, because he is somebody who, like us, just wants to spend less on taxes, then what difference does it make? Remember, they think they're talking to a guy who is going to depress taxes for them, right? So in talking, if you think that anyone who is even a Trump loyalist or a Trump leaner gives a shit about how much money he spends in taxes, I think that
Those people are lost. I'm not even talking to those people. If you're still on his side,
who do you feel like something like this does talk to? Let me ask you that question. Maybe that's a better question.
I guess I would have to say the people in the middle. Even maybe if you're leaning towards that side, this has to go in the column of, okay, this is another thing that is corrupt about this man. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe you want to pay less in taxes. We would all love to pay less in taxes. But if I'm looking at you and you're a billionaire and you pay less in taxes than I do, I'm hot. That's corrupt. And I need to understand why that gets to happen for you, but it can't happen for me. That's a huge issue for me. So I'm talking to the people in the middle, maybe that just have their toe on the side of Trump that could easily be swayed. Come on, let's go. This is a tally.
I get
it. Trump.
I understand. Listen, this is what the Democrats have to do. And this is what the other side does. Okay. The political game that's being played by the Trump-publicans or whatever is they don't really tell you what you can get. They tell you who's hurting you. They tell you who's getting hurt, right?
That is true.
They don't say what you can get. They say who's getting hurt. They tell you who's getting hurt. They say, hey, there was a black president, and that black president came at the cost of your liberties and your freedom, and he is leading the charge to overrun America with chocolate and beige and transgender Americans and everyone. But before you know it, everything's going to be run amok. These are the people that are hurting you. Hurting your vision and your view of America. You have to be with me to stop them from hurting you. Okay. As crazy as it fucking sounds, that is exactly the way the other side has to play this. Sure, Donald Trump didn't pay any of these taxes. It's grimy. The question becomes, who did it hurt? Who got hurt because President Trump cheated on his taxes? Who got hurt? Who can we look at? Like, what group of people, what group of Americans, right, has less so that he can have more? By the way, there's an answer to that question. All of these people that are paying a zero tax rate and all of these people that are not paying their taxes, that are not paying back into the American system that are enriching them, who can hurt? Also, the fact that if you're in debt all over the world, as I saw a Bloomberg report, is the president then a puppet in a national security risk? Those are the games that have to be played. Making Donald Trump look like a bad guy is not a winning tactic because he doesn't give a fuck what people think. But showing...
That's a good point.
And making a connection between what Donald Trump's actions say and who he's actually hurting, who gets hurt by Trump's America, who gets hurt because we don't have the infrastructure we need, we don't have the medical supplies we need, we don't have the programs we need, all of those things that your taxes go to do, I think that's a better way to kind of frame this, because it's like, I'm looking around, I'm like, yeah, he didn't pay taxes. Jeff Bezos didn't pay taxes. You know, these guys are trying to fuck with the tax code. That's what they do. Like, I have a guy, and you know, I know a guy. The guy says, see, look at Rach, rich Rach.
No, don't put that on rich me, because I'm definitely not.
No, but for me, Chomsky once said, if America truly was a country that had solidarity, tax day would be a joyous occasion. Chomsky wrote, he said, in Requiem for American Dream, he said, you would love paying taxes because your tax dollars would then fund the life of the widow who lost her husband in the Iraq war across the street from you. They would build parks and playgrounds. Yeah. Tax day should be something that Americans should enjoy. Mm-hmm. But because of our individualistic nature, we don't enjoy it.
No.
So I'm just saying, the narrative needs to be, who's getting fucked because Trump's not paying his taxes?
I hope that's a very, very good point. And I'm hoping to see that because you're right. Like now I was when you started talking, I was going to say, no, they do that. They do that. But you're right. All they talk about is how bad of a guy Trump is, not yeah. who what he's doing is affecting. I mean, right. you see it with Black people, but that's it. That's not necessarily who needs to be reached when it comes to swaying the vote towards Biden. I hope to see it in the debate because the debates are tomorrow.
You think the debates are going to do it? The debate, yeah, the debates are.
No, I pray because that is such a good point that you made. I pray that that is brought up in the debates tomorrow.
I hope it is too. Look, are you nervous about the debates tomorrow?
I am.
Oh, excuse me. We're saying tomorrow. We're taping on Monday. Oh. The debates are coming on a little bit after this podcast, or you might even be listening yeah. to this podcast and watching the debates at the same time. Nervous as shit. Your nuts all shriveled up. You know what I mean? You don't even know. I don't know what happens to women, but like, are you nervous about the debate? You're nervous about the debates.
I'm nervous. I just don't know. I just don't know how Joe's going to be. Like, we know what we're going to get for Trump, right? We know right. he's going to go below the belt. He's going to throw out false truths. He's going to lie. Like, we know what we're going to get with him. He's going to play into the camera. There's going to be no crowd, I assume. But he's going to play
into the
camera.
It's going to be a limited crowd.
Okay, so he's going to play into the crowd. He's going to play into the camera. We know that. But how is Joe going to respond? That's my fear. I don't know.
You don't know how Joe's going to respond to everything.
Yeah. Like Trump, you know what we're going to get from him.
Right. Look, I think that Vice President Biden has come long enough. If this debate were 2-3 months ago, I'd be a little bit upset about it. Around the You Ain't Black time, yeah. it seemed like Joe was going off, man. It seemed like Joe was going off. Joe Biden was like Joe Budden. Shout out to Joe Budden. Just going off. But now it seems like he's a little bit kind of more into it. You know, even when Joe goes off, Joe normally has a point. But like when Joe Biden is doing this, setting up there as a president, it kind of makes sometimes turns people off a little bit. And you have a lot of different voting sections that you have to appeal to. So I don't know. Now though, I know he's got a good team behind him. And yeah. it seems as if he is going to be in a position to really give a good performance. I'm betting right now, that Joe washes Donald Trump.
I hope you're right. I'm not gonna argue with you at all. I hope you're right. I just fear when Trump says, well, like starts throwing a you ain't black or all these, you know, like the things that they call out that he's done in the past when it comes to black people. Because I feel like black is going to be a big topic at the debates. Do you not think so?
I think it is. Yeah.
It's going to be forefront. That's why the agenda, the platinum plan that Trump has announced was announced right before this debate, because that is going to be a hot topic at the debate. Black is on the agenda.
First of all,
or the schedule.
I heard that Kanye West named that plan, by the way. I'm serious.
Wait, are you joking? Or are you serious?
Nope. I heard Kanye West named the plan. I'm like, serious.
For what? Isn't he running against him?
That's why it sounds like a fucking rush card. Like, it sounds, you know what I'm saying? It sounds like a platinum plan. It sounds like some shit you get at the Quick Stop. That's why it sounds like that. Like, I heard, seriously.
Well, that's
I heard,
about the quality of it as well,
I heard
man.
Kanye West. Did, look. $500 billion. We have to see. To me, the only thing I don't understand about the $500 billion situation is this. And I want black people to understand how disrespected you're being. Things are happening right now, right?
Thank you.
You're the president. And you have the Senate. If you want to give black people $500 billion because we need it, don't wait till after the election.
Thank you.
Do it now.
You've been in office for almost 4 years.
Why should we have to give, you're the president, why should we have to give 500, like Joe Biden has a whole bunch of things he's got to promise because he's trying to attain the presidency. Trump right. is the president. So if you're the president and you think that black people need $500 billion, give black people $500 billion. Right.
And don't give it to the institutions that are giving them. That's what the money's going to these institutions. It's not like you just like don't be full. Ain't just passing out 500 million. Is it million or billion?
It's million. It's billion.
Whatever it is. We ain't never going to see it. So how's that? Yeah. How, it's just, it's,
Make, it's 500 never million Mariah Carey got 500.
Sorry, I meant sorry. Yeah, million, billion.
Oh. Doc Rivers fired as head coach of the Clippers.
What?
Oh.
Wait.
Doc Rivers is out. They fired Doc Rivers. Get out of here, Doc. What's up, Doc?
Wait, are you shocked because you just saw it? Are you shocked because you did not think this was going to happen at the end of the season?
No, like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought they was going to run it back with the Saints card. What's up, Doc? Unemployment. Shout out to Doc Rivers. Shout out to Austin. The only reason why you can make jokes about something like that is because Doc Rivers is a sensational guy. He's got a lot of money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's a great coach. He'll have another job pretty soon. If not, he'll be on TV and we'll get to enjoy him as well. Doc Rivers is a great guy. Here's the thing. He's out. They just fired Doc Rivers. Doc has posted about it. Doc says, thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support in helping me make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. Though it was a disappointing end to our season, you are right there, and I know what this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get here. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot, and I'm grateful for my time here. It was my sole decision to bring Paul George here to the Los Angeles Clippers. While at the time, it seemed like something that was going to make us a title contender, looking back on it now, I realize...
Stop! That is not in there! Okay. Real talk, I do not think it's fair to get fired after a COVID season. I don't think it's fair. Just like we're looking at a playoff, not to take anything away from Miami, but I feel like we wouldn't have this playoff matchup or this finals matchup if we were in a regular season. It is not fair to fire Doc Rivers after a COVID season. Also, from a personal perspective, what he has done and stood up as a Black man, as a coach of Black men, and been such a voice to what's happening in the country, I just feel like it's so wrong to fire him. We should have waited after another year.
I do wonder why they don't get a chance to run this team back.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
You bring in Paul George, you bring in Kawhi Leonard, you add them to...
Big deal.
Montrezl Harrell, you add them to Lou Will, you know, all of these guys they have. Pat Beverly, Zubac, all of these guys, as Rachel chomps down on some kind of tortilla chip or something like that. You add them, and the NBA... I know people think it is, but it's not as much of a plug-and-play league as you think that it is. Now, you could look across town and say, hey, LeBron James and AD are in the finals now, and it's their first year together. True, but it's a little bit of a different situation. You got guys who are trying to figure out how to play on the wing together. You got a lot of personalities there with the Clippers that are meshing, trying to figure out who your leader is, whereas LeBron is the clear-cut leader of the Lakers. Has been doing the leadership thing for a long, long time. So there were some things that I feel like if you bring back the unit that they could have maybe accomplished next year and down the line. I wonder what was the decision? Where did it come from? Are the players unhappy with Doc? Is Kawhi Leonard unhappy with
Doc? It has to be. Has to be.
You think it has to be that Kawhi Leonard is unhappy with Doc?
It has to be. I mean, for Kawhi to come to the Clippers the way that he did, They had to go to him and say, what do you think about this decision? Or he came to them. There's no way that this was done without Kawhi's approval.
Right. Should we try to call Austin Rivers right now and see
call
what he thinks
Austin.
About this?
Man, or another Black coach bites the dust in the NBA.
I think I'm going to try to call Austin Rivers live and see what he thinks.
He didn't pick it up?
So Austin didn't
do you
pick
want
up.
Me,
so
do you want me to call Kawhi?
Leonard?
Who else? Do you know another one?
Yeah, get him on the phone. I was fucking tripping. I was about to say, shit. Yeah, I just wanted to see what Austin had to say. That's kind of weird. I'm glad he didn't answer the phone. What are we going to say? Hey, Austin, they just fucking fired your dad. Like, what are you thinking? Question, you were asked this earlier. Where does this leave? You talk about the Black coaches.
Yeah.
Like, is the NBA...
That was already a conversation this year with the Gentry got fired.
Gentry's gone.
Who else did we lose? That was a conversation we've already had once. We're going to have it again because Doc Rivers is now gone.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where the league was, let's look at it right now. The league was doing pretty well. And then, obviously, with the hiring of Steve Nash out there in Brooklyn,
yes.
You know, over a lot of candidates that people thought, you know, you got Mark Jackson's other guys out there, Jason Kidd's waiting to get that head coaching job, waiting to get another head coaching job for both of those guys. And you're wondering, is the NBA coaching landscape becoming increasingly what? Yeah, you got it's yeah, it says right here, 538. The NFL has lost its job on retaining on hiring and retaining black coaches. So it's an interesting situation. I think, you know, Doc Rivers, if we're looking at it, Doc Rivers had been there for 7 years. He had been there through a couple of different iterations of the Clippers. At this point, maybe they thought that it was time to go a different way. The only thing about that is that, to me, this was the most championship-ready team that they had. Those Chris Paul teams, when you're looking at with Blake Griffin, they were fun to watch, but you never really got the sense that any of those teams were going to be able to go deep into the playoffs and really make a run at an NBA title,
right.
Especially during the whole Klay-Steph thing going on, Draymond going on up there with the Warriors. Those teams were fun to watch, but they weren't legitimate title contenders to me, whereas this team certainly is a legitimate title contender.
Right.
Took him 7 years to build his team to this point, but he's got to this point now. I would have liked to have seen what it was going to mean for him to have another shot. It's an interesting situation for me.
Then I would have understood it, right? Yeah. So who are we bringing in? Who are we bringing in to coach?
I don't know, man. You got to think that they might give Jason Kidd a look. They might give Mark Jackson a look.
Mark Jackson's always at the top of everyone's list. It's got to be Mark Jackson.
You got to give Mark Jackson a look. A guy to manage the personalities of the players. I'll be honest with you, man. Steve Kerr deserves all the credit in the world for being the coach that he is.
But
Mark Jackson built that program out there. He gave those guys the confidence. He mentored those guys. He got those guys where they needed to be. Now, Steve Kerr did his Phil Jackson thing. It's almost exactly the same situation, except, you know, whatever. But he did his Phil Jackson thing. He's a fantastic coach. And, you know, instills an amazing amount of confidence in those guys and sets great rotations, all of that. But Mark Jackson was the guy that nurtured those dudes to get to where they were. So hopefully he gets another shot somewhere else. Just real quick, before I move on to Is This Dumb, did you listen to the Tory Lanez album?
Nope.
Didn't listen to it?
I said shame on anybody who did. So, Van, you listened to the Tory Lanez album? You couldn't read a synopsis?
No, I didn't listen to it. I might have heard something.
What'd
one
you
or
hear,
two
Van?
Song. I heard, I might have heard it? One or, might have heard, I just, what, listen.
Did you like it?
Did I like what?
The album?
No.
The songs you heard? The songs
nope.
You heard?
Okay, disgusting. Cool. Disgusting. Okay. Now, you didn't ask me if they were good. You asked me if you didn't ask me if they were good songs. You asked me if I liked them. Here's the thing. I don't fuck with Tory Lanez. Let me tell you why. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I listened to one of the songs, the song that dealt with it. My curiosity could not do it. And it's a failing. I fucked up.
You know what they say about curiosity.
It killed the cat. And in this point, it fucking shames Van. Because I had to hear what he was going to say.
And was it worth it?
No, it was a bunch of fucking nothing.
What did he say? What did he say?
No. No, you don't want to hear that.
Oh, because I didn't listen. I can't be privy to what he said.
I'm not gonna. Basically, what he denied it, but he didn't really deny it in any terms that. It seems interesting to me that Tory Lanez talks about anytime Tory Lanez will talk, he talks about everything leading up to it, except for what happened in the car. So he talks about what happened at Kylie's party, right? He talks about all the other stuff that might have been going on between him, Meg, and Meg's friend, all of that. But when it comes down to the question of did you pull a gun and fire it and then have that ending up, having those bullets ended up lodging in the foot or grazing the foot of a black woman, right? Did that happen? That's what he's not talking about.
He can't. It's an open case.
Then shame on me. And shame on everybody else, because if he can't speak to that, And we need to wait until he can speak to that. Apparently, there's something that's happening in a couple of weeks. We need to wait until he can speak to that. I don't need to
wait. What do you mean that was happening in a couple of weeks? I didn't hear about this.
There's supposed to be something either October 13th or 15th where he's going to, they're going to go to court or fight the case or do something where something's coming out.
A hearing, a preliminary hearing probably.
A preliminary hearing or whatever. He's going to plead something. All of that's whatever. I completely 100% believe Meg. But I just needed to hear what he was going to say. I felt played. I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I apologize to everyone. I apologize to black women. But I got to be honest about the fact I did listen to at least the song where he was explaining what
At least you're honest. Only thing I need to hear is guilty.
Guilty. Guilty. Well, we'll see. And very, he put that whole shit out, right? And very, very conspicuously, curiously, Meg has not reacted or said anything.
She doesn't need
knowledge. She doesn't have to.
Yeah.
She does not have to. Now, is this dumb? This is a viral video that's been going around. Okay. You know who Salt Bae is?
Yes, I do. Right? Got a restaurant in Miami.
I like it when he does that. I met him one time. I couldn't understand a fucking word he was saying.
Really?
No, he doesn't really speak great
English.
I've
never heard him speak.
Yeah, like couldn't understand a fucking thing he was saying, but what I could understand was that little ooh.
Did he do that for you? Were you at the restaurant?
I was at a place that he had made some food and he did do this little sprinkle.
Okay.
Right. but Salt Bae, great guy, I guess. He's got like 90 kids and he makes food. Food's good. So there's a video going around on the internet right now of Salt Bae not sprinkling, taping, and not tape and not and and not sprinkling meat, but taping some meat, taping some ass. There's a girl that is twerking, right? Yeah. They're in a restaurant, I guess they're somewhere.
His restaurant, new restaurant in Boston.
It's his new restaurant in Boston. This is a Boston. You don't really see the girls in Boston twerking that much. Mm-hmm. I can't really think of too many girls that like they're twerking in there in Boston. Boston seems like a twerk-free zone. This is interesting because that shit was moving. But so she was twerking and Salt Bae has a camera, okay? She's doing her thing, gray dress. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I guess it's her boyfriend, if this video is real, runs in and loses his fucking mind. Yo, you guys got to see the video. All right. You guys got to see the video. The boyfriend runs in, boom, runs in the door. Yo, what the fuck you doing? What the fuck you doing? It's very, very aggressive.
It is.
Almost to the point to where I feel concerned for her about how his reaction was. Okay. Is this dumb
for him to have
for him to have reacted that way? He sees his girl twerking for Salt Bae. Is it dumb for him to have reacted the way that he did?
I don't know if it was dumb for him to get upset, but his aggressiveness and how he got upset was not okay. Now, I'm going to speak to that first. I personally, if it's real, Lord forgive me, I don't think that was a real video. I don't trust anything when I see anything like that now on social media because everybody's trying to go viral. Everybody's trying to do something for the gram. This was a new restaurant, grand opening of it. It's already shut down because it's not adhering to safety protocols with COVID and everything else, didn't pass certain regulations. I just figured this is a way to draw attention to a restaurant when we're not eating at restaurants these days.
Right. I get you. So you're saying believe that the video is real.
Why did the waiter open that door? You know, this dude is banging. You don't know who this man is. He's banging aggressively on the door and you decide to open it and let him come into the restaurant. And then the video conveniently cuts off right after you see him getting upset and going towards her. And
Rebecca, that's when shit got real.
I couldn't find an extended video after that. I don't know. I don't believe it. I if I'm wrong, please forgive me. Because that was an unhealthy situation. His aggressiveness.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
And I heard it might have been her brother.
Her brother? Oh, well, if it's her brother or boy, it's kind of, brother and boyfriend are kind of interchangeable in that situation for a lot of guys, right? Brother and boyfriend are kind of interchangeable for that situation, you know? So let me ask you this. What then is the proper reaction to you walking into a room and seeing your girl twerking for a whole crowd of guys.
Yeah, I would have been slapping phones. Probably. That would have been my initial reaction.
You're going to slap the phones?
Like this is my girl. You just filming her twerking. I probably would have slapped the phones out of hand. Stop recording this. Don't record me. Don't record her.
If somebody's twerking and I'm taping it and you slap my phone, I'm going to box you. Like, it's not my fault.
I didn't put my hands on you. I put my hands on your phone.
Oh, you're a lawyer. You know that you can't do that.
I don't want you to record my reaction.
That's a Floyd Mayweather, Justin Bieber situation. You know you can't do that. Like, it's not, if she twerking and you want to tape it, that's like, you can't get mad at me.
The way he charged at her was not okay, but he definitely needed to have her stop and pull her to the side. But I would have been knocking phone. Like, don't record me. Don't record my reaction. Stop recording her. What would you have done? You're a dude. What would you have done?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I'd have done anything. I think I'm going to be real with you.
You would have got behind her?
Maybe. I might have been salty. You know what I'm saying? I would have. Well, don't let me not get on here and fucking act like that's not going to piss me off. I'm like, yeah. Yo, you fucking it up for these? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? And for free? We're not even going to Sizzler after this?
Only
you know
what I'm fans. Saying?
Oh, yeah, not even on the OnlyFans. You're doing it for free. I'm not going to act like I'm going to be cool with it, but I'm not about to freak out. At this point, 40 years old, I'm not going to freak out over that. I'm really not going to freak out, but it is going to be a situation like, why? Because think about it. You walk into a room, right? Like, you walk into the Cheesecake Factory, and all of a sudden, it's a bunch of women around. And there it is, Brian. He's got fucking double Oreo cheesecake in his right hand, smearing it all over his chest. You know what I'm saying? All over his chest. And this women like, and he's going crazy, right?
But is he just standing by himself rubbing his chest?
No, he's rubbing it for them.
But nobody's touching him. Nobody's on him.
They're taping him and he's just getting sexy with him. He's body rolling. He's doing a little mini Chippendale and they're going ham.
I probably would have grabbed the Oreo, whatever it was, helped him rub it on his body and slowly whispered in his ear, "We gonna handle this shit when we get home."
See, that's kind of, I fuck with
you. You know what I mean? Like,
but I will tell you something else about that though. I'll be honest with you. If Brian is doing that, as far as your relationship is concerned, you're in a much, much more dangerous situation than the dude is with Salt Bae. Because if you've ever seen any video of these women, when they go to these male stripper and bachelor party situations, the shit is so damn wild.
It is wild.
It is so beyond. You have a dude in there that looks like he's playing middle linebacker for goddamn the Saints, taking the shirt off, throwing a woman up, sometimes pulling stuff out of his pants, smacking people around with it. It's so wild.
I've never been to that type of bachelor party.
They have it. It's not a thing. It's so wild when it goes on. It's wild is my point, right? So the Brian situation is a dangerous one because women go further in those things. But like, you wouldn't be mad is what you're saying.
Upset. Cause a scene. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't. I mean, I really do think I would start blocking cameras, but I wouldn't go at him publicly. Like, I wouldn't cause a scene. Maybe that's because of the position I'm in right now. Now, if nobody knew me, I'm a hothead. I'm not even going to lie. Right. Nobody knew me. It might go down a little differently.
Right. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. In that situation, I think that I would never react in a way that would ever look as if I was going to put her in danger.
It's a different dynamic, though. Like, I can do more than you could.
It's true. It's true. So I'm not going to run up on you and be like, what the fuck are you doing? But I don't be like, because I'm going to walk in. First of all, I'm going to be honest with you. The first thing that's happened to me is my feelings are going to be hurt. That's the first thing. I'm going to walk in probably have like a bear and some balloons or something like that. And like, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming to see you. You know, you working at Salt Bae's new restaurant. I didn't know that shaking ass was part of your job description. So I'm going to walk in there like, hey, baby, I'm here on surprise and you shaking ass for Salt Bae. I'm going to look around and feel alone and feel like I need somebody to tell me out.
Would you have come in the restaurant? Because he was on the outside. Or would you have just been like, that ain't my girl, and just kept walking?
No, that's a good question.
You know what I mean? Because nobody would have ever known.
That's a good question. Because, see, here's the thing.
Doors would have been locked when you came home.
Because you signing yourself up for the embarrassment, right? The thing is, look, if she's shaking ass, she's shaking ass. You can't stop the ass that's already been shaked. You know what I mean? You can't go back and and take the jiggle out of the universe. It's already been there. If she's shaking ass, she's shaking ass. Only thing you can do is now embarrass yourself. So you might have to take that dub. You see this in movies all the time. You walk up, something going on. You don't ram the door down. You walk next door and you bring it up later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Good question. I probably would have left the teddy bear and the roses in front of the restaurant and the car. And then
you are
walked
so dramatic.
On. And then walked on. Then later on, she'd have got home and I'd be like, I have dinner ready, pulling out some lasagna and stuff like that. And she's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing. How was work? Was it rhythmic? What was going on? Nah, but homie did. And by the way, if it was my sister, no reaction. No reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interchangeable. I said earlier because, people get mad. But if it was my sister, Ebony, if you want to shake ass, Ebony likes ladies, so shake ass for them. But if you want to shake ass, shake your ass. I come in there like, yo, man, I got to warm the fucking car. Hurry up. Shake your ass with Salt Bae and let's go. All right. I think we're done, but here's the deal. I would like to thank Amy Schumer. That was delightful. Okay. Good talking to her. Listen, here on Higher Learning, we don't really, it's not about giving people a pass or massaging them into anything. But I will say this. This is just me. You listen to this. Anybody who's trying, I'm willing to give a chance. Okay?
Exactly how I feel.
Growth is the most important thing that we can do. And you're here as a human being to grow. The moment you stop growing, you might as well check out of this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to grow, you're trying to get better. Now, you can't keep fucking up and keep saying, I'm trying to grow. You can't keep doing that.
You're not growing.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But if you're trying to grow, I'm there to help nurture that growth. You know what I mean? So it seems like Amy, and she talked about it, is very, very sincere in that. So let's hope that she continues to grow and that we continue to grow. You got anything else before we get out of here?
Nope. Beautifully said.
We are done. Hey, Joe Biden. Come on, man.
We'll be covering it next podcast.
If they ask you about the crime bill, apologize to Black people, Joe. It's okay to admit that you were wrong about putting our fucking uncles in jail. That's the last bit of bashing. In the movie Thor, right? Thor got cast out from Asgard. Okay? Thor got cast out. And he was down on Earth. He was doing a whole bunch of things. But he was so arrogant that he couldn't be the heir to Asgard. Couldn't be it. Odin cast him out. But at the end of the movie, he sacrificed himself and his pride for Darcy and all the rest of the friends. It's Darcy and what's her name? Joan? Jane. It's Jane. It's
Love
Jane.
That you didn't ask me.
It's Jane, because I know you don't know. Jane and Darcy and all of them. And then as soon as he did that, the hammer comes to Earth. He gets his armor back. He can step into it as full Thor. It was the last thing he had to do. The last thing that Joe Biden has to do. He has to give a full-throated apology. He has to be contrite to Black Americans about that crime bill and about his views on law and order and policing from before. He has got to do that. If he does that, he becomes Thor. He becomes Thor.
That's great. And also, sounds like a fantastic movie. I'll have to check it out.
Chris Hemsworth, you're not going to watch it. You're not going to like it. You're going to make me hate the movie, which is what you do. All right. Take your thinking caps off. Do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I am Rachel Lindsay.
Peace.